Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 335.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 335. Wow. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for listening. As always, thank you for your support. There's a bunch of ways that you can learn from me besides this podcast. Real quick, you can go to youtube.com/jazzpianoschool. You can go to jazzpianoschool.com, get access to all the podcasts. Like I said, there's over 300 podcasts. 300. And we're still going. I'm still going strong. You can go to the website. That's where all the free education is, actually. And I've had a lot of students just say that they've learned so much just from going to the website and like looking through all the archives of transcriptions and lick of the weeks and tips and tricks and transcriptions and the blog posts and the podcasts, right? So there is essentially a Disneyland of information available at your fingertips completely for free. So go check that out. I got a great episode for you today. I say that all the time, but I really do believe each and every episode is pretty awesome, if I do say so myself. So this is going to be about comping fills. I shouldn't say comping fills, excuse me. Wow, I said that completely wrong. Great job, Brendan. Okay, this is going to be about solo piano fills and specifically choosing how to choose what fill you want to do or use in your solo piano playing, because it can be completely overwhelming. When you get to that spot, right, in a tune where you have a whole note, the melody is a whole note, maybe tied to even a half note or tied to a dotted half note, you have seven whole beats of space to fill, right? What do you do? When I came to these sections in tunes when I was younger, I literally froze. I had no idea. I had absolutely no idea what to do. And as I got older, I figured stuff out, right? But I really never had a kind of solid system. And I, as you know, well, maybe don't. Maybe this is your first time here. I love delivering systematic processes for you to pick out certain things in order for you to make it easier decisions, right? Just play jazz in a much easier way. Organize systems instead of just kind of like a mishmash of information. So I'm going to be teaching you a three-category system. When you get to these spots in your tunes, you can say, okay, which category do I want? Do I want to do A? Do I want to do B? Do I want to do fill A? Do I want to do fill B? Or do I want to do fill C? Fill A, fill B, or fill C? So with this, you have three options, three easy options. And just simply due to the organizational, you know, process, by asking yourself that question in your head, I promise you, things are going to be much, much easier. Very, very clear. So I really like this one. I taught it to the Accelerator students recently. And yeah, just great stuff. Really, really helpful. They thought it was awesome education. So I know you will as well. We're cranking out new updates on the website, by the way. Just cranking them out. It's so much fun. I love it. I mean, if you could see what Jazz Piano School was like 10 years ago, you would just be, I mean, there's some members that have been around for 10 years and they can't believe it, right? We're not stopping. I mean, some people throw, see, all right, I'm going to toot my own horn a little bit. The way that I did Jazz Piano School was, I'm one person, right? I started this all on my own. I stay small. My team is small. We're flexible. I didn't get funding from anyone. Like a lot of times you have to get like funding to invest in a website, right? Or you pay like $50,000, $30,000 to $50,000 for a website that like it can do all these bells and whistles, but you can't change it. Like if you want to change it, you got to pay like another $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 again, right? To make big overhauls or changes, right? I love living flexibly. I love living with flexibility, and I love being able to change. I've always wanted to change things and tweak things quickly. So because of that, we're constantly able to make these upgrades and changes fast without having to like save a lot of money, take a lot of time. And it really kind of came to fruition last year when we rolled out this completely new community inside of Jazz Piano School. A new layout for the website, beautiful interaction. You can message me in there. You can interact with me inside the community, the other members, obviously. You can get access to all your courses, all the curriculum, everything. It's just gorgeous, right? And we're still updating things, and it's anyway. I think for the tech people out there, they're like, oh, this is cool to listen to. For the non-techies out there, you're like, Brendan, please just shut up. I just want to hear the information, please, okay? Can you get to the podcast? That's all right. By the way, if you don't want to hear me talk again, you can always go to youtube.com/jazzpianoschool. In the YouTube videos, I go directly into the lesson. So if you do like hearing me ramble, this is for you. If you don't, then go to YouTube. You can listen or watch the live demonstrations. There's no talking in the beginning. It's about a 40-second long intro, and boom, you get the information delivered right away. But here we are. The podcast is meant for talking, and I use it to express and talk to you in certain ways. And so I'm talking about tech right now because I'm excited about the website and the changes. But it makes me happy to be able to do that and deliver these new updates to the members. If you're not a member, no problem. I mean, we're continuously pushing out new content series. There's going to be some free live streams coming up. We always do that as well. So anyway, YouTube is the best way to get access to all of that because the live streams are on YouTube. But we send out the links on the email list as well. And I don't really have much more. I'm getting married in June. So pretty busy right now with the wedding plans and all the updates, and the mastermind that I'm currently running is coming to an end, and I'm 90% sure that I'm going to be running another one next September. And what that is a 9-month program. So if you're interested in working with me personally, like you would study with me for 9 months personally, and you get access to, classes with me every single week, it's just like nonstop access to me. To me personally, I do everything. I'm your instructor. I'm your educator. You can ask me questions for 9 full months. You get complete, unrestricted access to my brain, to my education. I give you the lesson plans. I teach you every single week, week in, week out. And yeah, it's amazing. I mean, obviously, if you're looking to get the head honcho of Jazz Piano School, that's what the mastermind is for. If you're looking to get a little bit less access to me, which is through the Jazz Piano Accelerator program. I do a lot of the classes in that, but I'm not doing the lesson plans. That's my educators do run that program as far as the custom lesson plans go. You can do that. Obviously, the investment is a little bit less, I should say much less, than getting access to my mastermind program is a much more heftier investment. It's a 9 longer program and you get access to me, right? But those live teaching programs are available. I just want to let you know. Obviously, we have a membership and courses available as well. Anything else? It's a gorgeous day. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous day today. I'm feeling good. Are you feeling good? I hope you are. Check out this podcast. Work on these things individually. Isolate one of them. Pick one that you like and enjoy in this podcast and just work on that. Do not work on all three at once. Do not work on all three at once, because I promise you, it's going to be difficult to integrate them into your playing when you do that. Okay, just pick one, work on it, maybe 2 to 3 weeks. Once you feel pretty comfortable, move on to the next one. Okay, each one has different sets of skill sets, and abilities. And you'll learn that as I'm kind of going through it. But these are going to change your playing, I promise you. Okay, here we go. Just dive right in. All right, so here we go. I'm going to give you the 3 fill method strategy. Number one is going to be comping. Just adding some comps into any sort of tune when you have the opportunity to fill is going to be a great way to fill, and it's often underestimated. The sound it provides is amazing. So I have Just Friends pulled up.
Once I hit this melody note, again, I'm not a horn player, right? And if I'm playing solo piano, I do have the responsibility to comp and create rhythm and things like that. So I don't need to hold this melody note down. I don't have to hold it down for six whole beats, right? So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna drop my right hand down to my left hand, and I'm going to comp like I was playing in a band. So that is a legitimate fill. It sounds fantastic. You're keeping up with the rhythm. It's super simple to use. Anyone can do this, and it's not under any skill level. I mean, I'm a professional jazz pianist. I use this constantly, all the time. And all I'm doing here is a rootless voicing. You can add in some more voicings. You can essentially make it anything you want. You can make it sharp 11, depending upon how advanced you are or how beginner you are. I mean, you could even just make this shells. So I could go 1, 2, 3, comp, 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 right? I kind of switched to the F7 a little bit early, but it's completely up to you. You can do it that way as well. It doesn't really matter. So comping is a great way. And again, all I'm doing, I'm playing the melody. You can harmonize the melody however you want. That's not what this lesson is about. Creating a nice big spread here. I'm taking my right hand, I'm dropping it down to the bottom here, comp, comp, and any sort of rhythm here works. I'm going 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, and 4, and. I could do more if I wanted. I could go 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, and 3, and 4, and. Right, so I'm just comping in the low end. It's the perfect way to create it a fill. And by the way, anytime you get to a moment like this, this is just friends, I think I mentioned that, you wanna ask yourself, which one of the three strategies am I gonna use, right? Am I gonna use comping? Am I gonna use reharm or passing chords? Or am I gonna use improv? Those are the three I'm gonna be talking about today. So you can comp however you want. It doesn't have to be exactly like this. If you know more comping methods, if you've checked out my comping method system where I break the piano down into four different areas, you can use any of those voicings. I mean, I could comp up here in the top end. I could go, right? Maybe jump back down. It doesn't matter. You could use some drop twos if you want. Right? That's not really what this particular lesson is about. It's not here to teach you specific fills. Again, I'm trying to teach you how to fish. I don't want to just give you the fish. So if I were to teach you specific fills, right, that would essentially be giving you the fish. I'm not trying to say I'm not doing that, but I'm trying to make this accessible for everybody, no matter what skill level you're at. So if you know your drop twos, you can absolutely add those in. Here's a nice drop two of just a rootless voicing. I'm just going down in inversions. Kind of switch up to the actual just the second inversion drop two, but if I did, I could have gone some back to my rootless voicing here. It doesn't matter. And again, if you want to comp some octaves up here with left hand voicings, totally cool. So that's comping. You can do that in a number of different ways. It doesn't have to be difficult, whatever you want. Number two, let's talk about reharms for a sec, okay? So reharms are awesome. These involve a lot of passing chords, and I am going to be teaching you some things you can do here because there's a lot, and you have to understand your reharm. So there's a great passing movement I love to use on major seven chords, and it's just two different types of walk-ups. So I'm going to go. So all I'm doing here, I'm playing the melody, then I'm playing C major 7, or I played like a C major triad there, I believe. You can use either C major 7, D minor 7. You can see the chord symbols down there in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen there, above the keyboard. E flat minor, E minor 7. So this is more or less a diatonic walk-up. If I take the E flat out, I'm just going up and down diatonically. This is a fantastic fill to just keep the reflection of the C major harmony. When you get to E minor 7, it's a really close harmony to the C major 7, so it actually works really well. So here's what it sounds like. 1, 2, 3. You can come back down. Sorry, I didn't time that first one right. I was actually going to go back down, but I was like, oh, wait, I didn't teach him that yet. Let's try it again. I'm just going to go up, okay? 1, 2, 3. Right? So that's the most simple version. I'm just kind of going up, right? I'm replaying the C major 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, and. Now I'm gonna teach you a about some reharms you can do in this next measure here, but let's continue on with the C major 7. So I could add the... Okay, so all I'm doing is adding in the E flat minor 7 chord, which leads into the E minor 7. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 1. And rhythmically, I'm actually just messing around with this. I don't have a set rhythm because I will fit them in however I want. So I could go 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, and 4, and I could do that rhythm. I could do the one I just did, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, and, right? It's really up to you. As long as you fit it in the allotted time you have where that melody note is holding, it doesn't matter. I would mess around with the rhythms. Again, I don't have a set one. Those are two great ones you can use. Again, 3 and 4 and. That's a great one as well, or the slower version, right? I'm going to show you a different option here that I really love that I used first, actually, where it was not a C major 7. It was more of a C major triad with omitting the fifth. So I just have 1, 3, 1. And this is really nice. I actually like this one a lot. I tend to use this a little bit more because this top C kind of stays the same as like a guide tone in your ear where it stays like as a melody note, which is really nice. So it's like a consistent, even though the other harmonies are moving. So I'm going to go C major, D minor 7. E-flat diminished-ish, or you can call this E-flat minor 6. It doesn't really matter. You can also put a full diminished here if you want to use bigger voicings. And then essentially a C major triad over E. And again, I would just keep these like this. Now, you can do this in a number of different ways. I can do this with two notes like I'm showing you right now. So again, C major, D minor 7, E-flat minor 6. I like to think of it as a diminished. And then C over E. So again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. It's a really nice one. You can break it up. You don't have enough time for that in this particular one, so I wouldn't use that there. But if you did have two full measures, you could totally just break it up by kind of arpeggiating it. Right? Because you have to get the melody back in there, right? So this is really nice. Love that one. You can also use full triads if you want here, full chords. So that's the same exact harmonic progression, just with full chords. I have a full, essentially C6 chord here. I've added the 6. D minor 7. E flat diminished. C6 essentially over the E now, the third. Okay? So those are some really, really nice passing harmonies. And again, this is the most complicated, I would say. The improv one is actually the least complicated, but it does take more dexterity. And obviously, depending upon your skill level, you're going to be able to do different things. Over the C minor to F7, the tritone and any sort of like dominant 7 reharms really coming into play. So here from the C minor 7, I love to add in the tritone of my C. So I'm going to G flat 7 to lead into my F7. So I'm going C minor 7. This is after I hit the melody. C minor 7, G flat tritone. Again, the reason that this works is because the C minor 7 leads to an F7. A C dominant 7 still leads to an F7. And all I'm doing is taking a tritone of a C dominant 7, which is a G flat 7, right? And it leads me into my F7. So again, you can kind of just think about this as like if you have a 2-5, you're going to play the minor, and then you're going to approach the 5 from a half step above the dominant 7 chord. So here's what it sounds like. 1, 2, 3. So I went da, da, da. And again, I'm just comping rootless voicings in my right hand, bass notes in my left. That's it. I could do shells. That still sounds good as well. The most simple voicings still sound good as long as you have some good rhythms in there that are punctual, accented, and played with intention and confidence, right? That's really what it takes. So that's a great one. I don't want to get into all the different types of reharms you can do over like a dominant 7 or a 2-5, but reharming is your second choice. It's your second option, right? For the C major 7, I showed you these walk-ups, which are kind of like reharms because they're not written in the chart. Right? But there are more reharms you could do. You could go from the C minor 7 into the G flat, right? Into an F7 sus. And and then maybe resolve it to different extensions or change the quality of the F7 to an altered. Again, those aren't really reharms because the F7 is still written. You're just changing the colors, but there is no tritone written. So that truly is a reharm. Okay. So number two is reharm option. And like I said, if you can organize this in your head when you're playing solo piano, your fills are going to become exponentially better immediately because you're going to ask yourself, okay, in this situation, do I want to do a comping fill? Do I want to do a reharm fill? By the way, I don't need to reharm the C minor 7 to F7. I can just think comping, rhythmic comping, right? That works great as well. You don't need to get fancy with it. Like I said, if you have some nice rhythms that are swinging, it's going to sound great. And I just did shells, one and two and, or sorry, three and four and. I could do more rhythms, right? Three and four and one and two and three and, right? Be sure to make your long rhythms long and your short rhythms short. That'll really greatly define your rhythms and help your rhythmic playing on the piano sound much better. Finally, improv is the last one, and improv is actually, you know, the, I would say, I don't know, there's so many range of players. Like you listening right now, you might be a beast at improv, right? So this might be easy for you. You can just create lines. If you're not, again, this lesson isn't really about learning improv because the skill set you need here is your improv abilities. I'm not here to teach you improv right now. I'm here to teach you about a system that you can choose to create solo piano fills, right? Completely separate skill sets. So if you are a beginner, you can just think about chord tones. That's a very easy way to start. So on the C major 7. I'm just playing around with chord tones in my right hand, like in a higher register to create some fills. That's it. If you're a little bit more advanced, you can kind of create some scalar motion if you want to kind of create some fluidity. One, two, three. Right there, as you saw, like I sped up the melody a little bit because I went a little bit over of my space. So I kind of just sped up the chord note triplets. By the way, that's completely okay. If you run over your space in your fill and you're trying to squeeze the melody in, that's okay. It doesn't have to be exact all the time, right? If you're more advanced than that, you can do some, again, just more advanced improv language. This is really where your own improv abilities come into play because I don't know where you're at. I don't want to kind of demonstrate things that are above your ability. I'm just trying to show you the option. So again, if I were kind of improvising at my level or somewhere around that, I'll still keep it a little bit tame for now. But one, two, three. It can be anything. Like improv is just like you're creating an improv thing. Octaves are really nice. You could do some nice rhythmic octaves up there. It's just like a nice texture up in the top end. One, two, three. Right? That's super simple. And that sounds like you're improvising, which you are. You know, I'm just kind of taking a chord tone or a note from the chord scale and just kind of creating some rhythm with an octave. And it sounds fantastic. Okay? So just to review, when you get to a spot in your solo piano performance, whether it's a ballad, slow swing, or fast swing, and you have the opportunity to fill, and you know you have an opportunity because the warning flags go off where you see a whole note, even a half note, a dotted half note, a whole note tied to a half note like we have here in Just Friends, the beginning measure to Just Friends, ask yourself, what fill am I going to use? One, two, or three? Am I going to do a comping fill? Sure, I'm going to do a comping fill. Am I going to do a reharm fill? Am I going to try and get some reharms in there and comp through those? Sure, I'm going to do a reharm fill. Or am I going to do an improv fill? When you have this organizational system of fills in your head, trust me, when you get to those spots, you're not going to feel like a deer in headlights anymore, I promise you. Okay? Hope you guys enjoyed that, and I'll talk to you soon.